Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're in the book of Mark. We're in chapter 2. We're towards the end of chapter 2 when Jesus is 12 years old and he is in the temple. His parents don't know where he is. They've been looking for him for some time. Anyway, I'm joined here by Andy.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington also. So something that was interesting, we were just talking about this and figured it'd be good to share this too, is when Jesus stayed behind.
12 years old.
12 years old, he stayed behind. Let's see here, in verse 44, well, I'll read in 43. As they were returning, the boy Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey and sought for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances, and not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking for him. So they've already gone a day's journey out. So what do you think it's going to take to get back? Probably about a day's journey. So that's 2 days. And then you got a little bit further down, and it came to pass in verse 46.
Do we tell everybody this is Luke chapter 2?
Oh, yeah. So and this is Luke chapter 2, and in verse, the one we just read was in verse 43, and 44, 45, and 46. In verse 46, he says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. So 1 day away from town, 1 day to come back, and then 3 days looking for Jesus. So a total of 5 days that he had more than likely in the temple. That's where they found him. You could safely say that he was in the temple for 5 days, sitting in the midst of teachers, hearing and asking questions.
And they were astonished, weren't they? They were amazed at his understanding. In other words, he could see things that would take an older person. Understanding is different than wisdom. Wisdom is things on the earth. Understanding is the unseen in the heavenlies. So, but of course, he's Jesus. They were amazed at that and his answers. Oh, it says amazed and astonished. Those two words are used in here. 47, amazed. And 48, astonished. And his mother said unto him, oh, that was the parents. The teachers were. Oh, I guess it says, and his mother said to him, child, why have you done this? No, but it looks like the people were amazed and astonished at what he knew. Here is all this time, this whole central theme has been Jesus and the temple. And the temple is end up going to be destroyed. Jesus is going to change everything. But the focus is on this physical temple. And then the focus is going to be on our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And here is God living amongst men, and no man really recognized it. His parents did not recognize, except for his mother knew something, because she was told by Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, about Jesus. So she knew more than most. And so you have three people we know that really know something more about Jesus. One was Anna, and the other one Simeon, and the mother. But the religious leaders were amazed, but nobody got it, that is actually God's son living amongst them. They could not see the theme that was happening here, that the most amazing thing that had happened in almost 4,000 years is about to happen, and none of the priests and so on are aware of it. They just know that this kid is probably, they probably know he's special, but then later on the priests become so envious about losing their jobs, then they're going to kill him.
And something you said earlier, that all that heard him of these teachers were amazed at his understanding. If you read this, you can just go, oh, wow, that's interesting. They were amazed at his understanding. But a while ago, we made a statement that another place it says, I believe it's in Proverbs, it says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And that wisdom has to do with the earth and understanding has to do with the heavens. So they didn't say they were excited over his wisdom. They said they were excited over his understanding. I mean, that's clearly making a point here if you know there's a difference. And so he understood things they did not.
They had not seen yet.
They hadn't seen yet.
By wisdom, God founded the earth, and by understanding, he established the heavens.
There's understanding. So yeah. He was telling them stuff about the heavens that were amazing them.
Yep.
And the last verse in chapter 2 of Luke says, and it's a complete thought context, it says, and Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in grace with God and men. Now, what's interesting, it says he advanced in wisdom. Isn't that interesting, Gil? He was telling them about understanding, but he advanced in wisdom. He learned more and more about how to do things here.
And grace.
And grace. All of this he got.
Not to offend people. Now, if you
a hate, way to do things. Yeah.
He only the only ones bugged by him are the religious people. And also stature. And in Ephesians 4:13, until we actually come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, there's something about a stature, about a person, about their character, about their integrity, about their honesty, about their care for others, and care for the cause. Some people have stature that they speak and everybody just listens because there's something about them that they don't succumb to a base, you know, things that are base. What's another word for base? Things that are just, you know, like arguing or things that are low, that draw men low, that they do things that are just not right, that are not moral, that are not, don't have integrity, that don't have honor.
Now, the statement being made that he advanced in something leans into what? He needed to grow. He had to grow. He was Jesus. He was born, but he had to grow until he got to the point to where he was ready to start doing something. That's, he advanced. He was here and
ahead of his
forward.
Age. Ahead of his age.
Yes.
Probably. He wasn't encumbered by all the lust of the flesh that we normally have because he didn't get involved in sin. So there was this crazy Seinfeld episode that George Costanza turned into a genius if he didn't do a particular lust of the flesh. And it was pretty funny, but it really, in a sense, it's true that all of a sudden he solved medical things that hadn't been solved for years. That could.
If he didn't have something buffeting him,
yeah,
he would have grown.
But they made a, you know, Larry David's, you know, his mind, he's is a funny guy when you really think about it. I'm sure he knows a lot of the Bible because he's Jewish. But it just showed that he was this genius because he wasn't encumbered by sin. And I think they did a couple of episodes on it, and I actually thought that was probably one of the funniest things I ever saw. It just made fun of man in the only encumbrance we have is our flesh, is our sinful nature.
Hey, Andy, it says there in verse 42, the child continued to grow and become strong, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then the way you were talking about that, it's like it's starting to come out in 52, and Jesus was advancing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and
men. So like in the other picture of you have something, but then how do you use it?
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where was that you read the other verse?
Verse 39.
40.
40. Oh, 40.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Oh, you said 42 because 40 also. I got it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was looking at verse 42.
So if he was filled with wisdom, now he's advancing in this wisdom.
Uh-huh.
He's knowing how to use it. He's doing this, and he's being, God is training him for when he stands up and is really open in the open to everybody.
That's a great find, Steve. So here he is before 12, maybe 10, maybe 8, and the child grew, waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. And now you find him at age 12, this new statement.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah.
And then in 52, he's advancing.
Yeah.
It's just getting more and more and more and more.
I've got a great scripture for that. I have faith in you. Was it Paul that said, I have faith in you that you will not only do this, but more?
Yeah.
How would you like God to say that about you? Just don't do what you're required. And that's actually one of the things, requirements of God, that, oh, you just did what you were told. There's a scripture, and what did he call him, a wicked servant?
That you're talking only about the guy that took what? The guy that took the talents and buried him in the dirt and didn't even get interest?
Somebody only did what he was told. Only did, and it could be the talents. He didn't gain more. You could be absolutely right. But I just remembered the main theme of that. That wouldn't it be something if you'd tell your daughter or if you had a company that people said, well, I'm not just going to do that. I'm going to do 20.
Excel. You're going to excel. Yeah.
Advance. That is an interesting comment.
And he advanced. He advanced in wisdom and stature. And he also, because it's right in the same thing, and he advanced in grace. He made an advancement in grace with God and men. That's a giant verse right there.
He grew strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him, but he advanced in grace. It just says God's grace. He took that bit, whatever God gave, and added to it. He just didn't stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a whole last thought. Right there at the end of that chapter.
How much did that say?
A lot.
For staying on one verse, it's one of those things. I've seen that in the scriptures before where you, there's an expression for that, where you pause and reflect on it. There's an expression in that. I think there's even in music too.
Like a Selah?
Yeah. It's like a Selah moment, even though that Selah is not used here. That is a Selah.
Well, so the last verse of this that you get with Jesus is he's growing up. Because you don't know, I mean, we haven't read yet, but there's not a lot between those ages from 12 to...
He didn't just put him on this earth completely knowing everything and all wisdom and all that. He had to learn and grow.
We could have all been Doogie Howsers if we'd have started paying attention at age 5.
I'm kidding.
It's kind of funny some of the things, you know. I didn't even get into that or whatever, but it's kind of funny some of the things that you see on TV and so on, or if you don't take them too seriously, but they're interesting. Okay, Luke chapter 3. Where is the context? 1 through 14.
Okay. Now in the 15th year of the government of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, in the time of the high priest Annas and Caiaphas. The word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the region round about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of Isaiah, the prophet's words. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that went out to be baptized of him, offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that God can of these stones raise up children to Abraham. And even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And the crowds asked him, saying, what shall we do? And he answered and said to them, he who has two coats, let him impart to him that has none, and him who hath food, let him do likewise. And the publicans also came to be baptized, and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact no more than what is appointed you. A soldier also asked him, saying, and what are we to do? And he said to them, extort from none, neither accuse wrongfully, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and they were all reasoning in their hearts about John, whether he were the Christ, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one mightier than I cometh the latchet of whose shoes I am not fit to unloose. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly to cleanse his threshing floor and to gather the grain into his barn, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire.
So it's interesting, in this whole chapter, the word baptism is found seven times. And don't forget, what did John come as? Prophet. He was just like Elijah,
the prophet of the Most High.
He's bringing in what men need to do next to turn to God, and he's John the Baptist. We used to call him John the Baptist. What did you change his name to, Andy, to be more accurate?
John the Baptizer?
Yeah, he's actually the Baptizer. He's Baptist is not his last name.
Right, it's not JTB on his mailbox, that's right.
He's John, and he is his—
A Baptizer.
He was baptizing.
I said that one time at a meeting talking about it, and I called him John the Baptizer, and boy, that just got some people upset. Why are you calling him that? I go, well, that's what he did. They didn't like that. They just wanted him to be John the Baptist.
Well, he is. It's saying the same thing, but it's more, it focuses more on that's his purpose.
It doesn't say the function as much.
Yeah. This shows you what
he's doing it.
And guess who's going to use that in a way that's going to show everybody that if they're going to follow Jesus, they've got to do what John the Baptist came here to do. That's to baptize all of us. So he came preaching a baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins, just like it said in Isaiah the prophet.
And notice this book in the beginning said it was going to be a very accurate account. And you can see that in chapter 3 when it tells you what year it was, who was doing this, who was doing that, who was a tetrarch here, who this. It is so many details to put you exactly where you're sitting in this seat.
It even tells you where you are in the Roman government in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar and Pontius Pilate is
governor. Putting you exactly in
Judea.
The time frame.
Herod is the Tetrarch of Galilee. It tells you about the politics. What politics would Jesus be if he came? You know, that's one of the questions on the survey.
It tells you who the high priests were.
Right. It gets you to think outside the box. Is that question really about politics, or is it to get you to think, well, I'm going to say this in another way. This is one thing a man of God, a Jew in his heart, taught me, and it was an interesting subject. He said, did you know that when you are in a place like you're in Portland or in Vancouver or whatever, and you have a government here, you know, that you can see the officials you can elect, there's also an invisible government. How many of us think that there's not just the United States, like the Republican and the Democratic Party and Joe Biden and Donald Trump? How about an invisible one? Have you ever been into a city that you know that there's a real wicked leader there, and it's something you cannot see? There are some towns you really don't like to spend any time at all. There are some towns you're comfortable there, but there's an evil in some town, or there's an oppression in some towns, like countries, same as, you know, say a country or a town.
Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on a trip one time, and myself and three other people, we were driving through, and as soon as we crossed into this city, we all changed in the vehicle. We were almost like at odds with one another, and then as soon as we passed through that, we were back to normal. So I've sensed that going through cities.
Carol Lee and I would drive through New Mexico, and there was a certain place we always used to fight, and come to find out there were certain religious circumstances and certain weird witchcraft stuff that they used to do in a particular area. And what I'm introducing is there are governments visible and governments invisible. Countries, counties, states, cities.
Areas.
Areas where something maybe happened years ago.
Yeah.
There are things that we see and things we don't see. Dogs know it. I was in a house one time with a guy that used to like to kill people, and he was a sniper in the Vietnam War. But Ken's problem is, I won't tell you Ken's last name because there's lots of Kens, so you wouldn't know who this person is. But this Ken liked it too much, and he wanted some help. And you could tell when there were things present. You know, there are things, there are demons. There's lots of things going on. And you could tell that dog was watching this. People can't see it. We're not as keen-sensed as animals. Certain animals are very keen-sensed. And this dog really perked up its ears at different times. I told Ken, I said, you know, I felt like I was in a wrestling match, not just with him, but with this demon activity, demon possession that he had. And I finally just said, Ken, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It's up to you. If you want these demons gone, they're gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And he mulled on that for a little bit, and then he went in the bathroom and threw up. And he came out, and I baptized him. And Carol Lee could not stand to be around him. He really frightened her. And as soon as he came out of the water, Carol Lee's totally relaxed. That was my wife. She had a sense about people. She could see people. She could see through a lot of things. She had, discerning of spirits. She could tell. And the dog certainly had it. The hackles would go up on the back of his neck and so on. You ever seen a dog bark and you can't figure out why? They do it a lot. And there's a lot of things that happen around in people. Some people notice that. Our country is the most ignorant country when it comes to spiritual activity. You go to Indonesia or whatever, and they know it. They actually talk about it. They're open to it, and they worship it too much. But they know about it. But we as Americans, we are ignorant.
They worship what they don't see.
Yeah, it says that in the Bible.
They worship what they don't see.
It says that in the Bible.
And it talks about demon possession. People read right over that, and they go, They worship what they don't see. Well, wait, there's something there they can't see, and they worship it, and it's not good.
In the Bible, in the Bible, they're called unclean spirits, and a spirit doesn't have weight, doesn't occupy space or have weight. Some people could have 2,000 demons in them. The Gadarene did. He didn't need to go on a diet having 2,000 demons, but he needed to be cleansed, and so Jesus cleansed him. And they don't occupy space or have weight. You can't see them, but dogs can see them. And that's a lot of mental illness today is this. And it even says the church, Mystery Babylon, the church is the haunt of every demon. It does say that. And people are unaware of this in America, but in other countries, they know about things like this.
Well, it's interesting that we talk a lot about that because there was that scripture that talked about our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against principalities, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spirituals of the wickedness in the heavenlies. That's in Ephesians 6, 10.
So there's a whole world going on that's past our eyes.
Now, we've seen this already, so we're free to talk about this in Matthew and Mark about Jesus casting out demons. You're going to see more and more as we go along, you know, with this. And you'll even see the disciples later on and who can cast them out and who gets beat up when they try to. Mm-hmm. Like seven priests, seven religious people, they get beat up. But the fishermen don't, who are walking with Jesus. And we'll see that later on when you get into the book of Acts. But right now we got to stay in the book of Luke, or I'm going to get in trouble. What else do we see in here? Baptism's found seven times. Oh, and it goes on to say, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Now, have we seen that in other chapters about bringing forth fruit, or is this the first time? In Matthew and Mark. Is this the first time?
It's Matthew 3. Hold on. It does.
Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. I'm in 3.
It's in Matthew.
8. Oh, it is.
And already is the axe lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Does it say anything more about that?
It says that bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and think not to say with yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.
And they said, as a result of him talking about that, bring forth good fruits, they said, what shall we do in Luke? And Jesus answered and said to them, he who has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. Who has food, do likewise. And to the tax collectors, to the IRS agents, also came to be baptized. And he said to them, teacher, what shall we do? So these are things that are coming out of people when they get baptized. And he said to them, exact no more than is appointed to you. And it looks like we're coming to an end again. We will see you again in Luke chapter 3. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."